Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
He'll hoist up another long bomb, and he rips the cords on this one. That is some distance from Damian Lillard.
Bucks Talk starts now.
And the Warriors going to snap a four-game losing skid in this building to the Bucks. They take down Milwaukee 125-111.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
125-111, the final here. A Steph Curry show, as a few people had mentioned. Hey, it's hard not to get caught up in what Steph Curry was doing out there tonight. I mean, he was very good with 38 points. Damian Lillard matched him. It didn't feel like one of those full-on Steph Curry experiences. A lot of this was the role players of the Warriors. Jimmy Butler with a big game, getting to the free throw line as well. But a lot of self-inflicted wounds for the Bucks in this one tonight. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us on Bucks Talk, as you were hoping, and look, you still can build some, but hoping to build quite a bit of momentum going into the All-Star break with just one game remaining now against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you avoided, with that win yesterday against the 76ers, the chance of going into the break at essentially 500. You still have a challenging game in Minnesota against the Wolves and are going to have to deal with a player like Anthony Edwards. But overall, I don't leave this game overly discouraged by the Bucks. I did feel like they were competitive with the Warriors, who are a much different team with Jimmy Butler in tow now. They were competitive. Part of it was those self-inflicted wounds with the turnovers especially and lack of defensive rebounding. But it did in some ways feel like a group that was starting to run out of gas on night two of a back-to-back. I think that's what we saw towards the end. The Warriors played very well. The Warriors were still up playing the Bucks before that happened, but I think that's why the margin grew to double digits and never seemingly left there after about 6 minutes left in the fourth.
Yeah, I think we kind of talked about it a little bit yesterday, Justin, last night, that you got the win against Philly. That felt like a much bigger win, and now it looks a lot bigger. It definitely is a lot bigger with the loss here tonight. Outside of Damian Lillard, you just didn't get enough from enough guys. Kyle Kuzma with his career high in a Buck uniform with 21 points tonight. The bench, a little bit underwhelming. Second leg of a back-to-back, those were kind of the things that I was assuming was going to happen. My expectations coming in tonight, you asked me yesterday what were the expectations going into that game against the Philadelphia 76ers. I didn't really have any. I didn't really know what to expect tonight. I expected even a little bit less, and it's not to give the Bucks an excuse and say, well, you know, second leg of a back-to-back, but, I mean, you could tell they clearly ran out of gas. And another game where Damian Lillard plays over 40 minutes, so it was, again, these last three games, you and I talked about it, you got to get at least one going into the break. You did that against the Philadelphia 76ers. If you want to look at something positive, I do like what I'm seeing from Kyle Kuzma in a Milwaukee Buck uniform. Now, want a little bit better of the free throws at the line, and I think we will as the this goes on with him in Milwaukee. But again, no Giannis, survive this little bit of a stretch here before the All-Star break. But just not enough efficient scoring tonight behind Damian Lillard, who again kind of put the team on his back. And when he went out of the game, Justin, we just didn't have enough to get that scoreboard moving tonight. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Bobby Portis and Gary Trent Jr. kind of carried the load yesterday. Tonight, you just didn't get that. And, it's just kind of – it's one of those things, man. It just kind of is what it is. I don't want to chalk it up and give them an excuse. But these things tend to happen on the back-to-back nights.
They have one issue that we still don't have an answer for. And – we saw Kevin Porter Jr. make his Bucks debut tonight. I know Doc Rivers talked about him before the game and in the hopes of what he could bring to this team. I don't know that we necessarily saw that, but the issue that they have is in a game where Giannis doesn't play, in a game where Giannis or Dame does not play, you have one initiator on offense. And I know it's something that a lot of fans were hoping would be addressed at the trade deadline. It's no Giannis in this game. It's no more Chris Middleton at all on this team. That takes away two of those guys that could run that for you, and I think we saw it tonight, too. Minutes when Dame was off the floor, it was tough to get offense going. So that is certainly going to be something to keep an eye on for this team moving forward. And also, you know, I think there's this assumption that Giannis is going to be ready to go 1 week from Thursday when the Bucks open up their second half schedule against the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm not so sure about that. So I want to get into that conversation and a few other things that we saw from this game tonight. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us on Bucks Talk. More after this. 125-111 the final score. The Bucks fall to the Warriors tonight behind 38 points from Steph Curry. It's always an interesting matchup when you have the Bucks and the Warriors because of all of the Bucks and Milwaukee or Wisconsin connections on the Golden State Warriors. I mean, you think back to guys like Larry Harris, GM for the Bucks, GM for the Golden State Warriors, as well as a part of this group with the Steph Curry iteration of the Warriors. The two clear ones, Brandon Podziemski, who is still here, and Kevon Looney, as that duo had more than 100 friends and family in the building.
Still might be 100
tonight. So a lot of connections between these two teams. It always makes for an interesting matchup. But, oh, by the way, you got Steph Curry, who is a draw himself, and we saw a lot of Warriors and Steph Curry jerseys out here in this building tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and start things with Bob in Menasha.
Yeah, thanks, Jess, for taking my phone call. I listen to every night, but it's the first time I called in a long time. You know, I can't add anything new, although they didn't implode in the third tonight. They imploded in the fourth. That's going to be pretty common, isn't it, Justin, that implosion kind of stuff. When they, it just seems like tonight, I don't know, maybe it was that new little guard, he threw one away or maybe threw another away, and then some no-names from Golden State hit two threes, and that was it. The writing was on the wall and so forth. So that's getting to be pretty typical in quite a few games this year, don't you think, Justin?
I mean, tonight especially with the turnovers, it's not so much, well, it is. I don't want to take away from the volume of turnovers and the points that the Warriors scored off those. Thanks for the call, Bob.
Yeah.
The fact that the Bucks had no production of their own off of Warriors turnovers. I mean, it was really three things for a while, and then the third thing changed and evolved into something else. But the two big ones, turnovers. It's the third game this season where the Bucks have allowed an opponent to score 30 or more points off of turnovers. Surprisingly, they are not 0-3 in those games. They are 1-2. But 20 turnovers total in the game. I think the Bucks only scored 2 points off of Warriors' turnovers. So right there, you're in a 29-point hole off of turnovers alone. Rebounding. At one point, and I'm trying to do the quick math here, but at one point the Warriors had a 35% offensive rebounding rate to just 9 for the Bucks. So in other words, what that means is when the Warriors miss a shot, 35% of the time they're getting it. When the Bucks miss a shot, only 9% of the time they're getting their rebound. So you look at field goal attempts, 17 more from the Warriors. Why is that? Because they got 15 offensive rebounds and because the Bucks turned the ball over 20 times. You need more shots. Like, you need to value possessions. You want as many possessions as you can get because it could lead to more threes and just points overall. And when your opponent gets 17 more of those shot attempts, you're typically not going to win.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about it too yesterday, Justin, that you don't have Giannis. You got to have other guys step up. Tonight, you just didn't have that. Off the bench, you didn't have that. I guess Kyle Kuzma was your second leading scorer with 21 points. But, Prince actually had a decent game at 19, but you didn't have the efficiency. And when Damian Lillard went out, this was another topic that you and I discussed yesterday. When he goes out of the game, where is the scoring going to come from? You know, I thought they got creative today trying to take the ball out of Damian Lillard's hand, and, you know, Prince would bring up the ball or Kyle Kuzma would bring up the ball to kind of let Damian Lillard play off of a little bit without trying to avoid those double and triple teams at times. But when he goes out of the game, and tonight he played, let's see here, 39 minutes. When he goes out of the game and he's out for 21 minutes, they just didn't have that level of scoring to kind of keep the scoreboard moving. Whereas, you know, if you're the Golden State Warriors and now you have Jimmy Butler and obviously you have Steph Curry who can, you know, carry the load, and Buddy Hield is pretty good himself. That was, for me, that was the big thing for the Bucks. They just didn't have that lift that they've had. Even the Atlanta game that they've lost, they had that lift in that game. They had the game yesterday with Gary Trent Jr. with the 7 made three-pointers against Philadelphia. Tonight, it just wasn't there.
32%. Was the total or final for the Warriors, 32% offensive rebounding rate to just 13 for the Bucks. I would guess the league average is somewhere around 27%. I mean, look, if you're in the high 20s, you're doing a pretty good job. So to be at 13%, nobody's saying the Bucks need to be one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the league, but you can't be in the teens and even single digits like that, especially against a Warriors team that tends to play smaller. I don't know how much, and Doc Rivers didn't have an extended postgame tonight, but I don't know how much of it was just we would like to get Brook Lopez some rest versus they didn't like the matchups on the floor when the Warriors went small. But that was one area that you looked at and said, well, they're getting hammered on the glass. Maybe it's time. And we saw a few of those instances. Whenever there were sequences of the Warriors getting multiple offensive rebounds and second chances, that's when you'd see Brook Lopez re-enter the game. But you just needed more on the glass tonight, because that's where it all started, to not give the Warriors those second chance opportunities and to close out possessions. It all kind of funneled together to the rebounding rate, the turnovers, the points off of turnovers, and the role players. I said there was a third category. It started out as free throws. The Bucks were just not hitting them. And that was one of the other fears. The Warriors have played the second most clutch games in the league this season at 32. Missed free throws stand out quite a bit in those games. When you have a 5 point or less game in the final 5 minutes, and you look and you see, man, you're down by 4 points, and you missed 8 free throws in this game. So that was the fear. It ultimately went away. The Bucks started to hit free throws. Kyle Kuzma started, 3 of 7, hit his last 6 free throws. But the third category became the role players for the Warriors. And I know Bob said some no-name players. I get not a lot of the audience has probably seen much of the Warriors outside of Steph Curry and Draymond Green and now Jimmy Butler. But all those guys are guys that they have developed with the Santa Cruz Warriors and in the G League and found things in. Trayce Jackson-Davis, we didn't see much of tonight. He had a big game against the Bucks last year and has shown some moments. Brandon Podziemski, obviously what he did last year as a rookie and now starting to find his footing once again. Guy Santos has really started to emerge for them. And Quentin Post was the guy tonight who had three-pointers, and they all came off of either offensive rebounds or turnovers. And those three things were the biggest difference in this game. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Bob did bring up the quarter discrepancies. And I think we've had a few people call in and suggest the Bucks have not been very good in third quarters of games. The numbers might surprise you there. So I do want to dig into where do the Bucks seemingly run into the most issues. If we look at it at a quarter-by-quarter basis, we'll get into that conversation after this on Bucks Talk. 125-111, our final score at Fiserv Forum. It's the Golden State Warriors taking down the Bucks tonight. And Steph Curry turned back the clock. I don't even want to say turn back the clock. He's had some good games this season, but, man, this was a vintage Steph performance with 38 points. He and Damian Lillard went toe-to-toe and matched each other in point production in most of their statistics as well. But Warriors got more turnovers, were more productive with those turnovers, and their role players made the bigger impacts in this game. What did you think of your guy, Jimmy Butler, making his return to Milwaukee?
He looks like the same player he's always been. Gets to the free throw line.
Funny how that works.
Yeah,
he's happy. He's paid. And
yeah,
well.
And he's in shape and he looks good. I mean, he's good, man. He's frustrating to watch. You know, to go up against when you're rooting against him because he does everything right. He's a good passer, strong down low, can knock down his free throws, good at the mid range, just makes good plays. That was one of those moves, Justin, where a lot of people were like, well, I don't know, Jimmy Butler's 30, in his mid-30s, and he hasn't played in a month or so. Like, I don't know. When he went to Golden State, I was like, that's a great spot for him. It's a great spot for him. First off, I'm glad he's out of the Eastern Conference and he's not in Miami. But what I saw from Jimmy Butler today is what we've seen for the last, 10, 12 years, however long it's been. I got a question for you, though. Were you surprised at the crowd tonight? It felt like a 50-50 crowd.
No. It has largely been like this for the Warriors.
Okay.
I think because of the magnetism of Steph Curry.
Yeah. Yeah.
We saw a ton of Steph. And plus, we mentioned before, too, there were more than 100 friends and family members here for Brandon Pajemski and Kevon Looney. I mean, I know we had 18,000 people here, and we're talking about 100 out of that, but that was a part of it, too. So I think it's still people. You don't know how many more of these you'll get a chance to see Steph Curry here in Milwaukee. So I think that was a big part of it. I'm still interested to see how this pans out with this grouping of Steph and Jimmy Butler once you get into the playoffs, because I would have liked to see this team full strength with Giannis on the floor just to see what you could have punished, because there was a couple of times where I think the Bucks did a really good job of defending the perimeter against the Warriors and recognizing some of the non-shooters out there and letting Draymond Green take a dare shot, letting Jimmy Butler take a couple of dare shots from the corner. That's going to be the issue that the Warriors have, because what made this team so dynamic offensively for those years and years and years was obviously Steph Curry, the greatest shooter in the history of the world, but Klay Thompson and other guys that could do it too, where, like, even with limited help in terms of shooting and spacing, you still can't leave Steph Curry. But you can sag off of Jimmy Butler and say, okay, if he's going to take threes, we're going to let him take threes, and we're just going to put guys onto Steph. So that's the biggest thing I'm curious to see. Once we get to the playoffs. But, I mean, you saw the dynamic tonight with Jimmy Butler's free throw attempts. What was it, 13?
15, I believe.
Tonight.
Yeah.
So 28 free throw attempts for Jimmy Butler in his two games with the Golden State Warriors. They were second worst in the league in free throw rate. Amount of times they get to the free throw line. Well, second
that's
worst.
Change.
Yeah, that's going to change big time now with Jimmy Butler. 855-616-1620. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Dick in Port Washington.
Hey, guys. I've got two observations and a tremendous concern. I read Horst's interview with the media prior to the game, and a lot of word style within there, but I think if you filter out, I think he was pretty much saying it was time to move Chris for some subtle reasons, and I think one of the biggest reasons is that we're going to see Dame become more Dame-like. You know, I don't think he has to defer, and I mentioned this the other night to Chris, or try to
was
work
it you,
Chris
Dick,
into the big three.
Was it you that, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I just think that he's going to be so much better. I mean, he has referred to this himself, and from what I gather, both he and Giannis were in favor of moving Chris to the bench, and I think Dame had a say after the game on Sunday, and if it came down this way, that Doc said, look, you got to be the scorer, you got a leading scorer and a leading assist maker. And I think that's what's going to happen there. My other observation is I think the experiment with Ajax starting has got to change. I mean, he is literally not an offensive threat at all. There's just nothing there. My proposal would be to move AJ there and Green.
Yeah.
And have Trent come in off the bench, and still utilize Ajax to come in when he can handle one of their leading scorers. He just can't handle it. I think, you know, and that was really demonstrated in Atlanta. I mean, it was for both the last couple of games. And I think we need to change that. We need to have another guy on the floor that can score. And I'm not so sure AJ, he's probably not as good as defense, but I think he's adequate. My biggest concern, and this relates to the lack of transparency with the Bucks on injuries. This injury to Giannis is the same leg as last year. And I believe, and if I remember this correctly, there's a muscle called the soleus muscle.
Soleus.
And there's been soleus, yes. I was thinking more of the sun version, but I'll go with what you said there. There's been studies, at least at that time, when I looked into it a little bit more, is that there's a higher incidence of Achilles heel injuries with that kind of injury.
I know where you're headed.
And, yeah.
Go ahead.
And I'm wondering where this. I agree with you. I think you said you're going to talk about this later.
Yeah.
I'm not planning at all for him being back for a month after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
They're just, you can't believe what you hear from them. And I point back, and I don't know if you remember this, Justin, but when Brooks all of a sudden played the first game after trophy presentation and we didn't see him again.
Until
March.
And
then he wasn't on the bench. Yeah. And it's same type of injury. There's certain injuries you got to get them taken care of. Now, I don't know. There was never any mention that this type of injury, surgical intervention, would help. But I think it's a great concern, and I think if we don't get them back for a month, we're going to be facing the play-in tournament.
So I'm not going to comment on the ambiguity of the organization, but I will say...
I know. I keep forgetting that they're you're hired by them, so I don't expect you to take a shot at them, but I can give them a shot.
I do recall, it might have been you and I that we were talking about this last year on one of the shows when it happened. I think it was Jeff Stotts that runs In Street Clothes, where he analyzes all of the injuries dating back decades now. He had conducted research that showed there isn't really a correlation between the soleus and calf strains leading to an Achilles. I think what started it last year was everybody, as soon as a lot of us had never seen, what is a soleus muscle? And then it traced back to Kevin Durant in the 2019 playoffs, and he eventually tore his Achilles. So I think everybody kind of ran with it. Jeff Stotts has maintained there's no real concrete connection that this increases the chances of that. So I'm not quite there yet, but that's what I was going to mention. I'm not convinced that we're going to see Giannis next Thursday. I think that's the general belief by most Bucks fans. But what I come back to is some of the wording that was used by Doc Rivers that we heard were hopeful. He's going to be ready to go after the All-Star break and you know, whatever the timeline was. I mean, we heard hopeful around Chris Middleton a lot. We heard hopeful about Giannis. I'm hopeful we'll have Giannis for the playoffs last year. So I think you hear that and you think, uh-oh. I don't know about this. This might be more than this week and a week thereafter. This could be a little bit of time.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we're hopeful that we can overtake the New York Knicks also. I mean, the reality of it is that he didn't do well with this injury the last time. Now, I think of some of the injuries he has come back from. It wasn't, I don't know if it was, you'd call this a soft tissue injury, but some of those ones, like when he fell on his back that time and that, he came back from that pretty well. But that's a whole different deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, I remember the article you're talking about, but I think when I researched this more, there were some articles that at least there was higher percentage of Achilles injuries with that type of thing. But yeah, I remember the same guy, you know, and the trouble with that window that the guy looked at, he looked at specific NBA
recent
players, which would make sense because they're getting more stress.
Yeah.
But I think if you take the population at large, maybe those numbers are a little bit different. In other words,
the general concern is the longer you have reoccurring calf issues of just what that does.
Same leg.
Yeah, right.
Same leg, so. All right, well, not to be Dickie Downer, but that's my concern coming out of all this.
We will see. It's going to be interesting
right,
1 week from Wednesday when we get a look at the injury report to see what Giannis' status is coming out of the break.
What percent of chance you give us to win Wednesday?
I would still...
50-50?
Say like 55, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember last year, or the last game before the All-Star break, we went up there
Memphis.
And we... Pardon me?
The last game before the All-Star break, wasn't that the disaster in Memphis?
What was the game when we really needed a victory? And I thought we beat Minnesota up in Minnesota, but I might be mixing things up.
I think
here.
That was
we
coming
right
out of. I think that was the first game out of the break. We'll look it up during the break.
All right,
but yeah, it was right around the break.
But that was one too. I had that baby written off, and we played great. So I'm hoping for that again, but. I'm still going with that. We'll be at 500 at the end of the month, and maybe worse if Giannis can't come back.
Yeah, so it wasn't a disaster, but it was a loss in Memphis, the last game before the All-Star break. The disaster was the Memphis Grizzlies basically had nobody available. I think that was the G.G. Jackson breakout game. Their first game out of the All-Star break was a win in Minnesota.
Yeah, okay, that's where it was. I was close.
Yeah, almost.
Have a good night, guys.
All right, see you, Dick. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I know we got a few more calls to get to. Still want to get to the quarter-by-quarter breakdowns for this Bucks team as well. We'll get to that after this. All right, Bucks go down at the hands of Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors tonight. 38 from Steph. He went toe-to-toe with Damian Lillard, who also scored 38, but the Bucks issues in this game, turnovers, 20 of them. The Warriors scored 31 points off of those turnovers. The Bucks got just 2 points off of 9 Warriors turnovers in this game. And that, in addition to Steph Curry and the rebounding numbers, where the Warriors were much better on the glass on both ends, offensive and defensive, proved to be the story in this one tonight as the Warriors take down the Bucks. So the last couple games, we've had some people question quarters for the Bucks, specifically third quarter, as a few have pointed out. Hey, this seems to be the problem quarter for the Bucks. I think what's clear is it's the second half as a whole that has been an issue for the Bucks. It's not so much the third quarter as much as it has been the fourth quarter for this team that really stands out. And, you know, again, I do want to take a different view of this once we get more of a runway with Kyle Kuzma and just overall a different group here for the Bucks, because I think the natural inclination would be to assume the second half numbers are because this is an older team that is potentially running out of gas the later you get into the game. So, fourth quarter. Oh, let's do this. Third quarter, everybody had said, I think that's the issue. Negative 1.3 net rating in the third quarter. It's the middle of the pack in the league, 15th. They're really good in the first and second quarters. A 5.3 and a 5.0 net rating in those two quarters, which in the first and second quarter, 6th and 7th, respectively, net rating in the league. So in the first half, this Bucks team, by the numbers, is the 8th best team in the league when you view their net rating. Fourth quarter, they're a negative 5, which is 24th in the league, and it kind of ties into their clutch metrics as well, which, you know, last year that was the other difference, is They would lose to some teams you'd look back at and say, man, how can you lose this game? But they played really good against the best teams in the league, and they were really good in the clutch. That has not been the case so far this season. So the second half as a whole, the Bucks right now are 21st in net rating, a negative 3.2. And, you know, you look at teams that are around you there, the Toronto Raptors, the 76ers, the Phoenix Suns. I think the outlier is the Los Angeles Lakers. They're just one spot behind the Bucks, but other than that, all these other teams, even directly in front of you, teams that are really kind of on the cusp of the playoffs at a play-in spot. So that's where the Bucks are sitting there in your second half performance, where, you know, I forget if it was Doc, but one of the coaches used to always say, fourth quarter has to be your money quarter. And especially the last 5 minutes of the game. It might have actually been Adrian Griffin. But especially the last few minutes of the game. Like, that's got to be where you take over. And that just has not been the case for the Bucks this season.
Yeah, and they didn't run out of gas yesterday, you know, against the 76ers. But there was a moment in that fourth quarter where you're like, all right, a good 3-5 minute stretch. But I'll tell you right now, based off of what, you know, the math that you did and the research that you did, that doesn't make me feel any better with the playoffs, you know, a month and a half away. We're still not there health-wise, and I know I've kind of beaten the table saying, hey, as long as we're healthy, that's what I want. That I want a fair opportunity and a fair chance, and that's a fair...
You and me both.
I know, but that makes me feel a little bit worse because I know Doc said, like, I think he said a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago, I was like, it's only been a few games this year where that third and fourth quarter and the second half have kind of fallen off. And I remember sitting there hearing those words, Justin, and I'm like, I don't know, man. It feels like it's a little bit more than a smaller sample size than 3 to 4 games. It felt like it's kind of been all year. You've had some good moments in the fourth quarter. Just I feel like the bad moments, and that's usually typical when bad, when you're playing, you know, bad results versus good results, is you're going to remember those bad results more so than the good ones. But yeah, when you break it down like that, with the playoffs and an older team, that's not something I want to hear. Maybe that changes with the new look Bucks with Kuzma and KBJ, and I guess we'll see if Jericho Sims gets any run here.
So you mentioned it earlier, and I do think we have to spend some time on this. John Horst, speaking about the trade earlier today, I believe it was right as the game was happening, somewhere around then, shortly before the game. So I obviously was unable to attend it with the game broadcast, but we've seen the story from Eric Name and some of the quotes from John Horst in relation to that trade that sent Chris Middleton to the Wizards and the overall approach at the trade deadline. So I want to dig into that, some of the things that he said and what stood out the most. We'll get to that conversation after this. All right, so the Bucks lose to the Golden State Warriors today. This was the first time we got a chance to see Kevin Porter Jr., who was acquired at the trade deadline. We have still yet to see Jericho Sims, and this was the third game we've seen Kyle Kuzma in a Bucks uniform. Kuz, of course, coming over in the deal that sent Chris Middleton to the Washington Wizards, and John Horst met with team broadcasters earlier today and then did a longer press conference with reporters, select group of reporters, earlier today. He talked about how tough it was to trade Chris Middleton. I think it was an important answer to give, and it showed you the insight. And I took it at face value, too, that it was tough for him. He's, as I said, I'm incredibly close, as he said, I'm incredibly close with Chris personally and his family. I love them. Probably have more Middleton jerseys in my house than anything, and will still have those in my house. So I'm still not comfortable with it. But it wasn't a Chris versus Kyle comparison. I know that's the easy thing to do. It's the team before the trade deadline and the team after the trade deadline. We feel like in totality, we are positioned much better to have a better run this year. So in a really weird way, that doesn't do anything to diminish everything that Chris Middleton accomplished here for over a decade. Not comfortable with it, still never will be comfortable with it, but I do believe we did the right thing for the right reasons and hopefully in the right way.
It's a good answer.
It's tough to disagree
yeah.
with it, and I think honestly, the reality is, you know, you always talk about these types of moves and the organizations that move on from somebody too soon versus too late. Unfortunately, I think you could probably make a case it's a move that occurred a year too late. That's probably where you were heading. I don't know that. I know we haven't seen enough to formulate, hey, this is what Kyle Kuzma is going to do after three games, but you can see in flashes and in glimpses the thought behind it, the way he moves defensively. I mean, there were a couple of times today he held up defensively on switches.
Absolutely.
You can throw him out there on the perimeter against some players. I'm not saying Kyle Kuzma is going to lock guys down, but you just feel more comfortable, the length that he brings as well. Chris was the conductor of the Tough Shot Express. Kyle Kuzma can do some of that, but overall, just the burst that he brings you, it does feel like you're watching a different team with the athleticism, and we're not even seeing Giannis on the floor with this group yet. Now, we did see Kevin Porter Jr. tonight. I think it's a very much a work in progress that we're seeing there. And look, for both he and Kyle Kuzma, there's a couple of times during this game where we saw during free throws or during the timeout, Doc Rivers coming out on the floor and essentially coaching them of like, hey, in these spots, you need to be here and you actually need to slide to your left. That there's still some of that. These guys literally just got here last week and are still learning the plays, their teammates' tendencies, all of that stuff.
It was a tough trade, sending off Chris Middleton. As a fan's perspective, Justin, I can't imagine being the general manager and making that phone call for a guy that's been, you know, the pinnacle of the greatest Bucks, you know, era of basketball. You got to give John Horst a lot of credit, because I think the vision was there. They wanted to get younger. They wanted to get a little bit more athletic. It's no knock on Chris Middleton, as John Horst said, but, you know, the time was not now to make this move. And I won't say that Kyle Kuzma's a perennial all-star, but in the three games that he's had with the Bucks, Justin, he's looked better and better in each one of these three games.
Yeah, the belief that Horst had that Kuz is in his prime and he's going to help them out immensely defensively. He allows them to compete with different teams in different matchups, and even referenced yesterday seeing him take Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey on different moments. The most important thing, perhaps, though, is the line at the end that, we didn't run this by Giannis. Like, we know for the decade-plus that we've had Giannis in tow here, like, we know what he expects. We know what he's looking for. We know the guys that he meshes with, but we didn't run this up to him and say, hey, do you approve of this? No, that was not the move. We didn't want to put him in that spot either, similar to the Jrue Holiday trade. One game left before the All-Star break Wednesday night in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to tune in after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.